Open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. I've done something that I've never done before. I left my sermon at home. The last thing I do every Sunday before I leave is put it in my Bible, stick it in my Bible, and stick the little flash drive in my pocket to make sure I don't forget that. And I have the flash drive. So our sermon this morning, I hope my PowerPoint is pretty good because it's going to be my notes for our message. This morning, we'll find out how, well, we're going to find out something in a moment. As we come to God's Word this morning, this is the last in our series of on giving. And what have we learned so far? Well, we've learned some things. That the way we handle our money is important. It reflects our heart. It's a spiritual thing to give. It's not, we don't have the sacred and the secular separated, that our money is part of our whole wharf and woof of our life, that Christ said it's important because where your heart is, you know, where your money is, there your heart. If you love money, then that's what you'll love. And so the Lord, it's important. We can love money or we can love the Lord. It's an important part of our life. Our attitudes towards God. We're to give generously to the church. We talked that though we're not mandated to tithe these days, that still we're mandated to give. We're mandated to give generously, and 10% is a great starting place. A Jewish family would have given throughout the year about 23% of their givings to the Lord. So we are mandated to give and to give generously to the things of God, to God's work. We're to give regularly. We're to give proportional to our income. We're to give sacrificially at times, and we're to give joyfully. And we looked at last week in the parable of the talents that how we view eternity determines what we do with our money that the Lord has entrusted with us here. How you view eternity determines how you treat your money here. Are the things of the Lord important? Are you building up treasures in heaven? Do you know that all the earthly things here that God has given us to enjoy, he's given us to have pleasure in, but they're not going to last. The only things that are going to last are the things that are done for the Lord. So are we willing to invest in him and invest in the things of eternity? So the things that we're looking at today, the scripture that we're looking at today, is a great part of the Old Testament. David, it's later in his life. He's getting ready to die. He won't, as Hazel read, we had his death at the end of this chapter. But David had a vision. David had a vision. So early on, his vision was that he would build a house for the Lord. That he was going to build a house for the Lord. And he said, you know, why am I in a house? And the Lord's, the ark is in a tent. And he said, I'm going to build a house for the Lord. And the prophet Nathan came to him. The Lord spoke through Nathan, told him, nope, it's not going to be you. You're not going to be building the temple for the Lord. It'll be your son, or it'll be one of your sons. He didn't know who it would be, one of your sons. So what David does is, well, he gathers all the materials for it. He says, well, I can't build it, but I can help gather things for it. He begins in chapter 22 of Chronicles, gathering things for the Lord and putting it together. And here in this chapter, he's going to go through, he's going to challenge the people with his vision. So that's what we're going to look at. I think these verses will encourage us this morning, as much as I can remember what I'd written. They'll encourage us this morning. So let's look at David's vision and his giving in this. Let's look at that first. So David uses the term, he says, therefore David the king said to all the assembly, he's gathered the people together, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, for the palace will not be for a man, but for the Lord God. It's interesting that he uses that word, uses palace. He could have substituted temple for the Lord, but palace, indicating what? A place of great grandeur, a place of great grandeur where royalty lives. So God is going to live here. God is going to inherit this palace. I think it's interesting that he uses that word. He says, for the work is going to be great. For the work is going to be great. He says, I provided from the house of God so far as I was able. So David's vision is to build a house for the Lord. So, and he's put into it too. He's gathered all sorts of things through the years. He's put in, invested in his own, from his own treasury as the king. He's invested substantially into it. And then he challenges the people. He challenges them to be consecrated to the Lord. Why does he choose this word? We don't see this word very much in Scripture. The word consecrated, particularly in the Old Testament. But who was consecrated in the Old Testament? Who were the people who were consecrated? Well, they were the Levites. The Levites were consecrated to the Lord. What did that mean? Because see, the Levites didn't have any of their land. They couldn't produce anything for themselves. Their lives were given wholly to the Lord. And the Levites realized this. Everything we have is from the Lord. Every gift we have comes from the Lord. And everything we're to do, our whole lives are dedicated to one thing, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord in the tabernacle and eventually the temple. And that's what he's calling these people to do. Saying, consecrate yourselves. Realize that everything you have is from the Lord. Everything you have is from the Lord. And you need to be consecrate yourself and give yourself completely to the Lord. In other words, he's calling them to be all in on this. To be all in on this. We have that call too in our lives. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. We're to be a living sacrifice also. We're to give ourselves wholly to the Lord. So David's vision is to build the house, and what he's challenging the people to do is you need to be all in on this. Realize that everything you have is from the Lord, and everything you're to give is to the Lord. Everything you have is from the Lord. And everything you give is to the Lord. They're to be completely set apart. What about the people's giving? How did the people respond? They responded generously. It says in verse 6, and the leaders of the fathers' houses made their freewill offerings and did so. And the leaders of the tribe, so everybody from the household leaders to the tribal leaders, to the leaders of all the people, they all give, and they give generously to the Lord's work. Over 800 tons would just be over 80 tons of gold were given for that. They gave their talents, they gave gold, they gave silver, bronze, everything they gave to the Lord. They responded generously. And verse 9 says this is probably the key verse of the whole chapter. Then the people rejoiced that they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced greatly. Think about that. They rejoiced to give. It was their pleasure to give of what the Lord had given them. And that's a challenge to us, isn't it, this morning? How do we, when we give, is it a joy when you put that money into the offering? When you click with your BSB information to give to the church, is there a smile on your face? Are you happy? I wonder what God's going to do with that money. I rejoice because God has given me so much. And I can give to the church, I can give to his work, I can give to this ministry. They rejoiced in it. That's a challenge to us to think about our attitude, the attitude of our heart when we give. They rejoiced because they had given willingly. They weren't under compulsion. He just asked. They gave willingly to the Lord's work. And they rejoiced in that. In other words, they gave because they wanted to. They gave because they wanted to. They weren't forced into it. They gave because they wanted to. Let's think about that for us. And then David prays. Then David prays. He prays a prayer. I wonder if this prayer might have a little sadness in it. David knows he's going to die. He wanted to give to the Lord, and he doesn't get to. And he knows he's coming to the end of his life. But he prays, and he glorifies God in this. Listen to his words. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O God, and you have exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand is all power and might, and in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise you, our glorious name. You know, we would do good as Redeemer Presbyterian Church to remember this, because you know what? We have a big task in front of us. We have a great task in front of us with our building, and everything I say this morning is reflected to keep in mind of what we have to do. We have a great task in front of us. The Lord has given us a vision of a building, of having a place of our own. Why? Why do it? Why can't we just keep meeting here? I enjoy meeting here. But why a building? Why spend all this money? Why a building? Why a place? Why a location? Because we do a lot here. And I think as a church, I appreciate all of our leaders and everybody here. We do a whole lot with what we have and not having a building. All those activities that are up there, that's a lot. But you know what? We can do more. We can do more. With a building and a location, we have a footprint in the community. We have a place. The Lord gives, if everything works out, for the building there. What a location on Nicholson Road. People will see it. They'll know we're here. We'll have a presence. We can do more activities. We can do more Bible studies, community things. We can reach out more and more. We can see God's kingdom grow more and more in this neighborhood, in this area. There are tremendous needs in the Canningvale, Thornley, Gosnells area. You live in neighborhoods, you know your neighbors. There are tremendous needs. You know this area has one of the highest rates of domestic violence in the city? Didn't know that. You wouldn't have known it because everybody gets out of their car and they go in, their garage door comes down. You don't see that, but it is. There's a need for families and for needs. And we can meet that by having this building. But you know what? It's going to be a big ask. It's going to be a big ask. So we need to keep in mind, here's the God we're praying to. We're praying to a great God. We're praying to a God who can meet all of our needs, because we are needy people. We're praying to this God. You know what? When we stand in that building one day, when we dedicate that floor, that our new location, we'll just give God the praise and the honor and the glory, because he is a great God. So as we pray and when we pray, and we're going to have to do a lot of praying, we're going to have to fill up the screen for the Tuesday night Zoom call. We're going to have to fill up that screen with people. We're going to have to beseech the Lord heartily over and over. But he's a great God. And he can, and he will supply what we need. He will give us what we need. What is the source of our generosity? Davis prays again. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. But yours is the greatness and the power. Again, the greatness of God. For what? What do they realize? In Corinthians says, he who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase of your harvest in righteousness. As I mentioned to the children, God will supply. And isn't it kind of funny how God works? He gives us what we need to give it back to him. He gives us jobs. He works through ordinary means. He gives us the means to give back to him so that we can sow more and more. That's why the apostle prayed, pray that God will give you more so that you can give more to his work. That's the way that the Lord works. See the greatness of God. And then we have the joy of giving. The joy of giving. Verse 14, He says, and who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to do thus and offer willingly? For all things come from you, and from your own we have given to you, so that we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for your building, to your house and your holy name, comes from your hand, and all that is your own. I know, my Lord God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offered freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers kept forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts towards you. They had a joy in giving to the Lord. It was an undeserved blessing for them. But there's a joy that the Lord had given to them. It says they gave with an uprightness of heart. Their hearts were pure when they gave. They weren't looking for anything in return. And they didn't feel really an obligation. Lord, I have to do this. And they also didn't think, Lord, I'm going to give this so I'll get anything. He says there was purity and uprightness in their hearts when they gave. That's a challenge to us to think about our hearts when we give. Are they pure? Are they upright before the Lord? Do we give, again, joyously to him? Because he says, who are we that we should give? Who are we? He's humble in that. And again, who are we that we should give to the Lord? Who are we? Because we're at one time what? We were lost. Who are we that God should honor us? Who are we that God should save us? Who are we that God should desire our gifts and our offerings? Well, at one time, we weren't his people. We weren't his people. It says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that is now in work in the sons of disobedience, and among whom we also lived. That was us. That was you, and that was me one time before the Lord saved us. We were part of the lost world. We were lost. We were lost completely. Imagine that for a minute. Just think. Think about it for a minute. That you were lost, and you could still be there. You could still be there at this very moment. It says, But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us to live together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. By grace, you've been saved. How amazing is that? We were lost, but now we're saved. But now we're children of God. But God, why did he save us? Because he's rich in love and mercy, and because he wanted to. Because he wanted to, he saved us. Do you know that this morning? Do you know that this morning, that you're saved, that you're a child of God, that he has come into your life? If you don't, then perhaps before this service is over, but perhaps before this day is over, you will go before the Lord, confess your sin to him, accept his forgiveness, and ask him into your life. If you have questions about that, talk with one of us, talk with an elder, talk with many people in this room about your own salvation. But who are we that God would save us? Who are we? Why did he save us? Because he wanted to. Because he chose to. How great is God's grace? How great is God's mercy in that? So that we were undeserving, yet we're blessed to give. We're undeserving, yet we're blessed to give. Again, it's a blessing to give to the Lord. Again, in conclusion this morning for this abbreviated message, David had a vision. We have a vision. We have a vision for what? A building, a church building, a place where we can, a new building for that. David do this. He said, he was the king, but he said, I can't do it by myself. I can't do it alone. So for us, it's going to be a community effort. This is a community effort for us. We're going to have to work together. We're going to have to work together in a lot that we already are. But we're going to have to work as a community effort. It's going to take all of us. And David prayed. David prayed, and we're going to have to pray. We're going to pray a lot. It's going to challenge your prayer life. God's ready to answer our needs. God loves to answer prayers. He loves to meet the needs of his children. We're going to have to pray. We're going to pray a lot. We have to have a lot of prayer to a great God. A lot of prayer to a great God. They gave generously from the heart. They gave generously from the heart. Again, for us, do you rejoice to give to the Lord? Will you rejoice to give towards our building fund? Not just our fund, I want to put that aside. We have a lot more going on. We have missionaries to support. We have ministries to support with our givings. But do you rejoice to do that? Rejoice to do that. And do we consider it, again, a blessing to give? That's our challenge. That's a challenge to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, this passage, it challenges us to search our own hearts, to see where we are in our giving. Well, Lord, as your servant David came before his people with a great need, we have a great need. We have many great needs, so we have a great God. So Lord, let us look into our own hearts and to say that we might be able to say with these people, they rejoiced in giving to the Lord. It was a joy for them to give to your work. A joy for them to give to your work. Thank you, Lord, that we can do this. Thank you that we can praise you and we can worship you with our gifts, with our tithes, with our offerings, with our talents. And Lord, thank you for the challenge of these verses, that there's a task before us. May we rise to the occasion. May we consecrate ourselves to you in every way this morning and in our lives. In Christ's name, amen.